വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീവിം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരണി ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ വ്യവസായ ആത്മീയ ബുദ്ധേർ ഏകേഹ ഗുരുനന്ദന ബഹുശാഖാഹ്യനന്ദാശ്ച ബുദ്ധയോ അവ്യവസായിനാം. ദാറ്റ്സ് ദ വേർഡ്സ് വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് യെസ്റ്റർഡേ ആൻഡ് വി സോ ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് നോളജ് ഓഫ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത വിച്ച് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ടു അർജുന, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നെവർ ലോസ്റ്റ് അണ്ടർ എനി സർക്കംസ്റ്റാൻസസ്. വൺസ് ഇറ്റ് ഗോസ് ഇൻസൈഡ് ഇറ്റ് കീപ്സ് ഗ്രോയിങ്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി ബ്രഹ്മജ്ഞാനം. കൃഷ്ണ കോൾസ് ഇറ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്. And the example was given about, the spoken was about Arjuna himself. That Arjuna, after he heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, many years later, while on a while walking with Krishna in the forest, Arjuna asked Krishna again to repeat Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna said, now I can't speak to you Bhagavad Gita because you are not in the same Arjuna which you were before. And it's a different Arjuna I have to deal with. But still, Arjuna asked a question to Krishna, will this knowledge will be lost? Krishna says, no, it will always come back to you when it's needed. And that is what we saw much later when Krishna left the planet, when Arjuna fell into a depression, how the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita came back and saved Arjuna from further distress in life. And Arjuna recognizes the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita at that point. So we were, after that we were mentioned about the importance of Bhagavad Gita's realization of this knowledge. whatever we may say at the end, this knowledge is above all other knowledge in this world. The knowledge what Krishna has spoken about the soul. But there's always one problem in all these things. Arjuna also had the same problem. What is that problem? Problem is this, that when a Mahatma comes, a great personality comes here, and he takes us to spiritual life, quite often we get influenced by the personality. In other words, we are impressed or we are influenced by the charisma of that person, isn't it, who comes and talks to us about spiritual life. This has happened in all cases, almost all, that Mahatmas, they have only one goal, to get us out of this material existence and to take us back to the spiritual world. So when they try to do that, in that process, most of us get affected by the personality. And in that process, we forget the message, what they have come to give it to us. This has happened in almost all cases, including in our ISKCON also. The same thing happened. Prabhupada wanted us to study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam seriously and understand the message in the books more than anything else. And he would have been much happier if we had done that. No doubt we have to respect Srila Prabhupada as our spiritual master who gave us this message. And Prabhupada is, Krishna has come and in front of us in the form of Prabhupada and spoke to us. So that's why he said, mentioned in the Guru Ashtakam, you'll see these words, Sachal Hari. He is Sachal Hari. Krishna himself has come in that form. But if you don't take the message, simply get affected by the personality and personal aspects of Srila Prabhupada, not thinking about the message what he wanted us to understand, then that is a problem. And in that process, what happens? The whole life goes in this way, spent in the process of worshipping and personal... no doubt about it, the influence of the personality is so strong that it is difficult to move away from that. But at the same time, the message is not taken seriously, then we have lost that chance. And Arjuna also got into the same problem. Arjuna was thinking that Krishna is always there, and Krishna will be there to help me out in all situations. And Krishna's instructions were so powerful, in spite of that, Arjuna was thinking that Krishna's personality, more than the individual personality that has influenced Arjuna, more than anything else. But you will notice one thing, these Mahatmas, when they speak, they will always tell us that I am not personally going to do anything for you. You have to do it yourself. No matter who it is. Lord Buddha, the same example in Lord Buddha's case also. Lord Buddha had a associate called Ananda. Ananda was his personal associate. And he spent all his life serving Buddha. And in the very last minute, Buddha was leaving. Ananda is saying to Buddha that you have come to this level of spirituality and I am still the same Ananda. So Buddha says to Ananda, Ananda, what did you think that it is going to happen? Did you think that I am going to take you and put you there? No. You have to do your part. Like I found out the truth myself, in the same way, you also have to inquire. Even if you go to any Mahatma, this is the same story. Our duty we have to do. Nobody is going to hand it over to us in a plate. And so Buddha says to Ananda, that Ananda, I have searched for the truth and I found the truth. You also have to do exactly the same thing. There is no other way you can escape from that. There's no other way. What the great jnanis or the great devotees and great mahatmas, what they tell us is that I have searched and found the truth, and their realizations they will tell us. We also have to do exactly the same thing. We have to follow the instructions Krishna has given and take the knowledge what Krishna has given and completely take it to your heart and follow that process. Follow the process. And one day, by Krishna's mercy, it will happen to everybody. It's not that it is something different. So, whether we believe it or not, Mahatma said, whether you believe in this realization, realized knowledge or not, the truth is truth. It's not going to change. Whether you believe it or not, it does not matter. It will forcefully operate within oneself, whether we believe in it or not. This knowledge, what it goes inside, it will start forcefully working from inside. And it doesn't require any special support from anywhere else. And most of the time, the problem is, when the Mahatmas are living here in this world, we will not take the instruction seriously. We'll be busy with the personality. And when the personality leaves from the stage, then we start thinking, now what to do. It's then you start looking at the books seriously, what he wrote in the books. So this one problem is always there. And Arjuna also went through the same problem. It happens all the time with all the great souls who have come to help us from this world. So, while we were discussing yesterday that the point we mentioned that intelligence, what Krishna gives to a devotee to come back to him. Tesham sadadayuktanam bhajadam pridipurvagam dadami buddhi yogandam yenamam upayandide. That now here when we say that Krishna will protect us, Krishna will take care of us, we always feel that what is this taking care, isn't it? We feel what this taking care is. Krishna will protect us, we say. But that protection, when we look at it, Bhagavadam, you will see, temporarily Krishna protects us from illnesses and from the different kinds of distresses in this world. That is a temporary protection. But if you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj in the womb of Mother Uttaradevi, Bhagavatam should have been finished there actually, because that was what protection meant, isn't it? Parikshit has been protected from Brahmastram of Ashwatthama, and he has come out from the womb and grew up like a prince, and he lived his life since then. So Srimad Bhagavatam should have finished there if that was protection, then Srimad Bhagavatam should have been finished there. Krishna has come and protected Parikshit, and Krishna went back. But it looks Bhagavatam didn't finish there. Why? He protected Parikshit in the womb for one reason, practically Krishna was preparing the personality to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Who has to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the future? And the real protection you see at the very end of Bhagavatam, when Parikshit says at that point that Siddhosmi Anugrahidosmi, that I have been given the real understanding of what I am. And that is the real protection from Krishna. It is not all the other protection we get in this world. For example, when you are suffering with some serious illness, you take to Krishna's shelter to protect us, isn't it? Or when you are in serious crisis in life, in any other way, you pray to Krishna for help. That may be some protection. But real protection is when Parikshit felt that protection properly only at the last minute, at the end of Bhagavatam, when he says to Krishna that Siddhosmi Anugrahidosmi, now you have given me that real protection. At that time he realized even the protection in the womb was not that important as this protection what he got at the end of Bhagavatam. So you'll see there, what do we understand? Understand is this, that only real protection is when we realize the truth. That is the protection from all problems once for all. That jnanam or the knowledge is that one that will protect us. How does it protect us? It takes us to our real spiritual identity, what we are. So as soon as we realize what we are, then we don't need any more protection after that. It is these protections what we are talking about is all up to that point. So the importance of self-realization, that every protection what we are looking for in this world is all based on the body, isn't it? It's not based on the soul. So Krishna's point is, once you realize the soul, then there is no more protection needed. You come to your proper spiritual identity. So Krishna was saying that this is why Bhagavad Gita was spoken. That is the goal of Bhagavad Gita. So therefore Bhagavad Gita was kept in the very heart of Mahabharatam. In the very heart of Mahabharatam. Mahabharatam is nothing but our life. Mahabharatam is nothing but our life, a conditioned soul's life. So we saw also earlier that the Kurukshetram, what we are talked about before, Kurukshetra, it's a Dharma Kshetram. And also Kurukshetram is referred to as Karma Kshetram, in reference with that you have one side the Pandavas, the other side the Kauravas. Pandavas had 11 Achauhinis. Kauravas had 11 and Pandavas had 7 Achauhinis. Duryodhana has, you remember all this in the first chapter we were discussing. Duryodhana spoke to Dronacharya that our army is very limited. And Pandava's army is very unlimited. Although he had 11, much more than Pandavas had, still he says Pandava's army is unlimited and our army is very limited. From this statement from Duryodhana, you can understand the whole Bhagavad Gita. Ours is limited and Pandavas is unlimited, he says. Compared to Pandavas, we have much more people. Many more people. Duryodhana had many more people. And he says still ours is limited and Pandavas are unlimited. Why did he say like that? Because of presence of Krishna on the side of the Pandavas, and Krishna was not doing anything, but Krishna is complete, isn't it? Krishna is Kampurna Vastu. So everything, because Krishna is complete, complete means fully on a spiritual platform, everything, when Krishna is present on one side, everything is complete there. Everything is complete. In other words, if Krishna is not present in anything, it's not complete. It's not complete. That's why at the end of Bhagavad Gita, you will see this verse, Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shri Vijayor Bhudir Dhruva Nitar Madhur Mama. That this is the last word in Bhagavad Gita. Where Krishna is present, there everything is present. When Krishna is not present, no matter what we do, it's still incomplete. So Duryodhana says here, ours is incomplete. He is feeling that incompleteness in him, although he had more people in number. So a typical materialistic person, that is Duryodhana's example. And whatever, this also indicates that whatever we achieve in this life, in the form of wealth, popularity and all other things, everything, still, in spite of all that, we are still incomplete. There will be always that incompleteness in us. It will never be complete. You will never feel satisfaction that I've got everything. In spite of the fact that you have achieved everything in this world, what you can achieve as a person, in spite of all that, you will see a certain vacuum inside. Something is missing there. So, some kind of vacuum. When does that get fulfilled? Whatever we accumulate in this world, it is still incomplete. When does it become complete? When that nishchalam. Nishchalam means that subject, object, which doesn't move, and which is only a witness. And when he comes on our side, at that time, it is complete. In other words, when we understand Krishna, we should understand this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. When the knowledge is there with us, we are complete. If the knowledge is not with us, we are incomplete. That's what it means. That Krishna means actually this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. That is Krishna, isn't it? So, Vidura will mention about this later on. Yada Krishnaha tada dharmaha. Yado dharmaha tada jayaha. This is Vidura's statement. Wherever Krishna is there dharma is there. Wherever dharma is there victory will be there. Victory is there. Same thing what is in the Bhagavad Gita. So, who is Krishna? Who is Krishna? Krishna is the soul in everyone. The soul who is present in everyone. So, so on Arjuna's side, Krishna is sitting there saying that I will not do anything. I will not get involved in the war except driving your chariot. In spite of that, Duryodhana felt the Pandava side was complete. No, although Duryodhana knew that Krishna has given this guarantee that he will not take the weapon. And his own side, he felt incomplete. It is the same rule applies to our life also. The same thing applies to our life. Whatever material things we accumulate in this life externally, and always there is a fulfillment missing in inside. Inside there is no fulfillment. Till we touch that complete object, Krishna, that it will remain as a unfulfilled thing. Everything may look externally fine, but internally we will feel that vacuum in ourselves. Now, Arjuna's charioteer was Krishna, wasn't it? Arjuna's charioteer was Krishna. And we saw this statement in the Kathopanishad, what we read before, isn't it? Atmanam Radhinam Vidhi Shariram Ratham Evaja Buddhistu Saradam Vidhi Mana Pragraham Evaja. Remember that verse, important verse in the Kathopanishad. ആത്മാനം രഥനം വിദ്ധി ശരീരം രഥമേവതു ബുദ്ധിസ്തു സാരഥം വിദ്ധി മനഃപ്രഗ്രഹമേവച ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി ഹയാന്യാഹു വിഷയാൻ തേഷു ഗോചരാൻ ആത്മേന്ദ്രിയമനോയുക്തം ഭോക്തേ സ്ഥാഹുർമനീഷിണാം യസ് അവിജ്ഞാനവാൻ ഭവതി അയുക്തേന മനസാ സദാ തസ്യ ഇന്ദ്രിയാണ്യവശ്യാനി ദുഷ്ടാശ്വാമിവ സാരദേ യസ്തു വിജ്ഞാനവാൻ ഭവതി യുക്തേന മനസാ സദാ തസ്യ ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി വശ്യാനി സദശ്വാം ഇവ സാരഥേ. സോ ദയർ ഇൻ ദി കഠോപനിഷത്ത് യു സോ ദാറ്റ് ദി ചാരിയറ്റിയർ, കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് ദി ചാരിയറ്റിയർ ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ബിൻ പ്ലേസ്ഡ് ആസ് ദി ചാരിയറ്റിയർ ആൻഡ് ഇൻ അവർ ബോഡി ഓൾസോ this body is compared to in Kathopanishad as a chariot, isn't it? It's a chariot, and in this chariot Krishna is in the position of the charioteer. In other words, in place of buddhi or intelligence, that is the position of the sarathi or the charioteer, Krishna must stay. Krishna should be the charioteer. The five horses are the five senses. In Mahabharatam there is also sometimes mentioned four horses, that means mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. Now, if the charioteer is good, and or in other words, once we have the faith in the charioteer, everything goes fine. And so faith in the charioteer, everything goes fine. And that duty of the charioteer is to make sure that this chariot reach the destination properly. Because of the, if the charioteer is intelligent, and in other words, charioteer has the knowledge, proper knowledge, naturally the chariot will reach the final destination. So, here, that is what mentions that vijnanam vishnu paramam padam. There is a verse in the person which is, when the chariot is driven by Krishna, what will happen? Vijnanasaradiriyastu മനഃപ്രഗ്രഹവാന് നര സ്വധ്വന പരമാപ്നോതി തദ്വിഷ്ണോ പരമം പദം. മാൻ ഹു ഹാസ് ആസ് ഹിസ് ചാരിറ്റിയർ എ ഡിസ്ക്രിമിനേറ്റിംഗ് ഇന്റലക്ട് ആൻഡ് ഹു ഹാസ് അണ്ടർ കൺട്രോൾ ദ റെയിൻസ് ഓഫ് ദ മൈൻഡ് അറ്റെയിൻസ് ദി എൻഡ് ഓഫ് ദ റോഡ് ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ ഹയസ്റ്റ് പ്ലേസ് ഓഫ് വിഷ്ണു. ദിസ് ഈസ് ദി ഉപനിഷത് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ്. തദ്വിഷ്ണു പരമം പദം. തദ്വിഷ്ണു പരമം പദം. ഇൻ അദർ വേർഡ്സ്, ദിസ് പരമം പദം വിഷ്ണു, വെൻ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് റെഫേർഡ് ടു ഇൻ ദി ഉപനിഷത്സ്, generally it refers to self-realization. Because if you have realized the truth, which is what the self is, what we are, you have reached the final destination. All other conceptions about Golokam, Vaikuntham, and other things, this is after that. That goal, self-realization, is the goal mentioned in the Upanishads. And it is mentioned as Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Paramam Padam, the ultimate destination we have reached. So, In this case of Kathopanishad mentions here that Arjuna did the very intelligent thing. What did he do? He put Krishna in the place of the charioteer. So what did the charioteer do? Charioteer lifted him when he fell, when he became very weak, isn't it? That is the duty of the charioteer. That he has to protect, the charioteer has to protect the passenger or the person who is fighting the war. In the case of a chariot, the charioteer duty is to make sure that he protects the fighter who is fighting, who is traveling in the chariot. If you remember in the Bhagavatam, you will notice this. In one instance, when Salu attacked Dwaraka, Pradyumna was fighting against Salu. And at that time, the charioteer, when Salu attacked very powerfully, very vigorously, Pradyumna could not bear it, and Pradyumna immediately started feeling weak. At that time, the charioteer took the chariot away from the battlefield to protect Pradyumna. So, charioteer has a role to make sure that the person who is fighting the battle is always protected. So, Arjuna did this intelligent thing that he put Krishna in that position of the charioteer. And that was the greatest, the most intelligent thing what Arjuna did. That if you keep Krishna as the charioteer, then Arjuna knew that he is protected very well. And that is the satsangam. So satsangam is nothing but this keeping Krishna as the charioteer. Whether it has come to him immediately the benefit or not, Bhagavad Gita, hearing Bhagavad Gita, by hearing Bhagavad Gita in a very crisis moment in life, it helped him to get himself uplifted from his crisis, to escape from his crisis. Uttishta Bharata. Therefore it is said, Arjuna was told that when he got into a difficult situation, Krishna's words has lifted him up. And similarly, intelligence also will stay with us as our guide if it is properly given the support from Bhagavad Gita. And if you don't have the power of this knowledge inside, whatever you may have, just like in the opposite side, what do you find there? The Kauravas had Kauravas had everything, isn't it? They had a great archer, Karna, who were much more even capable than Arjuna. More than capable than Arjuna was Karna. Karna is known for his ability, isn't it? So, in spite of the fact that Karna was there, he didn't have a charioteer like Arjuna had. So, charioteer also is important. In other words, Karna's charioteer we saw before was Shalya, wasn't it? Shalya was his charioteer. And when and Shalya was a constantly uninterrupted trouble for Karna, wasn't it? In the battlefield, you will see in Mahabharata, when eventually Karna had to fight the war, Shalya was constantly interrupting him and questioning his wisdom, except to drag him down further, and no encouragement at all. Because if in our own intelligence, if the knowledge is not there, if the knowledge has not properly developed inside, that kind of intelligence will be a constant trouble. Constant trouble. In other words, what Kathopanishad is saying to us is that because Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, how that helped Arjuna in a crisis. Similarly, and Krishna's position in relationship with our body is that Krishna has to take over the control of our intelligence. We should not depend on anything external except the knowledge what Krishna has given us. So when Krishna gives us that knowledge, and if we take it properly, that it will save us from all disaster in later in life. That if we don't have that knowledge, that intelligence will be a constant trouble for us. Just like in the case of Karna, in spite of so much capacity in him, the person who dragged him down, Shalya, took the position of intelligence in Karna's case. Isn't it? Like Krishna took the position of intelligence in Arjuna's case, Karna took the position of intelligence in Shalya's case. But Krishna elevated Arjuna when a crisis came. Shalya pulls Karna down when a crisis came. Isn't it? It became... if intelligence is full of ignorance, if in our intelligence is fully filled with ignorance, what will happen is we will never become complete. We will be empty always inside. Shalya took over the charioteer's role, and Karna asked for Shalya actually. That was the funniest thing. In the Mahabharata war you will see, because by then most of the... Shalya was a good sarathi. In other words, in controlling horses and driving the chariot, Shalya was an expert. But because Karna didn't have the intelligence to think that a charioteer's role in encouraging him when a crisis develops, like Arjuna had, Karna didn't have that. So the result was that although Shalya was an expert charioteer, when it came to the point when he needed help, Karna didn't get that help from Shalya. So these are all in relationship with Kurukshetra war is spoken to us to make us also understand in our own life, if the knowledge is not controlling us properly, not guided by this Krishna's knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken to us, if that doesn't guide us properly in life, we will also be lost in this world. We will get lost in this world. So in order to stress the importance, This verse in the Kathopanishad and the Bhagavad Gita, it is only to indicate to us, to make us a little bit more deeper understanding, this example from Mahabharata has been brought into Bhagavad Gita. That it is a Kurukshetra we are fighting in this world. our survival also is a Kurukshetra war going on. Yeah. So in this war also, if this knowledge is not controlling us, Bhagavad Gita's knowledge, we can also get distracted and get lost in this, our life in this world. This is why in the background of Kurukshetram this was spoken. As I mentioned before, the most difficult place to practice spiritual life is in the battlefield, isn't it? When you have to extremely face the battle, you have to battle with somebody and an army standing there. Even at that point, if this can come to your come to your shelter, there is no doubt about it that this can be our shelter even while living in this world. This is the main thing. Just like it helped Arjuna, even in the most difficult situation, like in a battlefield, if it has come for Krishna, Arjuna's shelter, will it not help us in our daily life in this world? It naturally has to help, provided we practice it. If you don't practice it, it won't help. Practice it means whatever we have, Krishna has spoken so far, we should take it very seriously. That this is the essence of every knowledge in the whole Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that this knowledge of the soul. And with this understanding, if we operate in this world, if we live our life in this world, Krishna is saying no distress will touch you, because we will always find that strong anchored to the soul, strong anchorage to the soul. So, if the ignorance goes in, instead of this knowledge, if some other ignorance goes in, what will happen is, every moment it will be a disturbance inside. Every moment it will be distant inside. And whereas on the other hand, if the knowledge is inside the intelligence, every moment there is a crisis, it will lift us up from that crisis. We'll be able to escape from the crisis. So, another interesting thing is, when we say ignorance, this is also important. When we say ignorance is also a knowledge. Ignorance is also a kind of knowledge. Yeah, ignorance is not empty. Because normally, ignorance does not manifest in emptiness. How ignorance comes to us, instead of having the correct understanding, some false understanding, false knowledge comes to us. So, ignorance is a wrong type of knowledge. That's all you can say. You can't say ignorance is not something that you have no activity, no thought at all. No. You are still thinking, you are still accepting. But instead of accepting the right one, you are accepting the wrong one. That is ignorance. So, how it is explained in the Shastram is like this. If it is completely dark, you won't see the snake, isn't it? The rope is lying there, the same snake and rope example. If it's completely dark, you won't see the snake. If it is completely bright, you will see the rope, isn't it? So when do you see the snake? It is in the twilight, isn't it? It's neither bright nor dark. That is when that you start thinking it as the rope as a snake. It is then that you see this. So in other words, if you are completely illuminated in spiritual life, or you have total realization, there will be no misunderstanding in you. If you are completely ignorant, it's totally ignorant, there is also no problem. But it is this little bit here, there, this is always, our mind is wavering all the time. Isn't it? So what has happened was, in this twilight, when it is not fully bright or not fully dark, we have superimposed the snake on the rope. We have superimposed. It was then that the mind accepted that as a snake, isn't it? So instead of this rope, seeing it as a rope, we see it as a snake now completely. We see it as a snake. So when the knowledge is not fully, when the knowledge is not fully developed inside, that is known as ajnanam. Ignorance is that thing. That is what is called ignorance. That means if you are completely in darkness, you won't see anything. You won't even see the rope or snake, isn't it? You are safe there. Because you are not imposing anything on the rope at that time. When you are, when it's completely dark, there is no problem, because you are not seeing anything. When it is completely bright also, it's not a problem, because you are seeing the truth as it is. But it is in between, neither dark nor bright, that's where all the ignorance is creeping inside. Misunderstanding that develops inside is all at that point. So, why was this spoken? The reason is this. No matter you may know everything in this world, every knowledge in this world, what the scientists have given, philosophers have given, we'll know everything. But if there is no knowledge of the soul, it is incomplete. It is still ignorance. This is the point what they are saying, that without knowing the truth, knowing everything else is ignorance. You see, Krishna's point is this. Without knowing about the soul, knowing about everything else in this world is ignorance. Is ignorance. If you say simple terms, if you have not self-realized, even if you have known everything else in this world, all that knowledge will be ultimately ajnanam or ignorance. This is the point. I don't know whether you got the point what I'm saying. That the importance of self-realization, that you may know everything else in this world, thinking that I have so much knowledge of so many other things, but that knowledge is also considered to be ajnanam. Why? It is like in the situation in the twilight condition, that you have made the biggest blunder of identification with the body. Because of the identification with the body, all other knowledge that you acquired in the bodily identity is also ignorance. It is not going to... But if the knowledge of the soul, spiritual identity, is got back, then you have the knowledge, you, other things, you also have the knowledge of that then, if you have the spiritual realization. Because once you have realized the truth, then you will see everything else in its proper identity, in connection with Brahman, or Krishna's connections with that, isn't it? So that's the point. That today, my biggest identity problem we have is that we have lost our identity. Identity theft, or what they call it, isn't it? It has happened to us. It has happened to us. And we have to accept this, because remember that example I mentioned about Nehru, Jawaharlal Nehru. Yeah. This is a perfect example. Jawaharlal Nehru went to that prison where they were releasing the prisoner. Mad people were there in the prison house, right? So this one person was going, leaving the prison house. So Jawaharlal Nehru was asked to hand over this flowers to him and congratulate him to coming out. So when he was coming out, he says to him, he is not cured, he is still asking him, who are you, he says. He says, I am Jawaharlal Nehru, he says. So the prisoner is saying, oh, I was also thinking like that till now, that I am Jawaharlal Nehru, he says, you know. But you will be alright, afterward you also get out of it. So in these two people, if you take the real Jawaharlal Nehru and this prisoner, both are in the darkness, isn't it? This person is thinking, I used to think I was Jawaharlal Nehru, but now I realized I'm not Jawaharlal Nehru. But he has not realized the truth yet, that he is spirit soul. And the real Jawaharlal Nehru is also making the same mistake, that he is thinking I'm Jawaharlal Nehru, which he is actually not, isn't it? So how ignorance works in this world is sometimes very interesting when you look at it. Jawaharlal Nehru's realization that I'm Jawaharlal Nehru, he's supposed to be he's in a prime minister and a big personality, and he's shaking hands and he's releasing him from the prison, this person. So you can imagine the joke behind it. That just like how this misunderstanding of the body, that is what Krishna is saying here, how our identity with the body is so strong in us. And no matter how many times it's been spoken to us, we are still holding on to the body very strongly, thinking that this body is what we are, isn't it? So that is why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke very straight, first the truth about the soul, that we are not this body, we are the soul. And to take us to that point, Krishna is coming down in different levels and speaking to us about this. Another example in the Shastram is this. When you coming back, when you going in the night time, you are walking in the through in the villages. There is no light. You are just walking through the road. There is a little bit of the moon shining. So there is a little bit light. You can walk through the road. At that time, somewhere you look and you see there is somebody standing there, isn't it? Somebody standing there. And when you looked from a distance, you started thinking, is there somebody there? And when you get a little bit closer, you think he's wearing something white cloth around him. So there is fear develops inside immediately. It was only a post standing there, but you started thinking it's a person there, isn't it? How the mind brings so much misconception to us in our head. And then somebody else says something to you. Only a few days ago, someone committed suicide there. That's enough. Then you are completely in trouble. You start thinking that what's going to happen now? That what am I going to do? You started sweating and frightened about it, isn't it? So what it is, the important thing is that this ajnanam, Krishna, that's what I'm coming to that. The ajnanam is such a thing that you don't know what it is. Instead of the real thing, it brings something else as in place of that. It's not that you are missing this and you are empty. No. Instead of missing this, it brought something else in place of that. That is in Shastram Ajnanam. Ajnanam, so for example, in material life, what do we say? Somebody doesn't know anything. He says, we say, oh, he's ignorant. He doesn't know about it. We say like that, isn't it? But we don't say that instead of that he knows something else, what is right. He doesn't know that. Or he doesn't say that. We say, oh, I don't know about it. I'm an ignorant. I don't know anything about it. We'll say like that. Suppose somebody asks something, we say, I don't have an answer because I don't know about it. I'll say like that, isn't it? But I don't say, instead, this is the right thing, isn't it? So, ajnanam in Shastram is different. Ajnanam in Shastram is that you don't know something, but you know something which is wrong. That is the problem. That is why it is so difficult to change from one to switch to another. To take this ignorance away and put the right knowledge in that place. That's the most difficult thing. That is why it is spoken here that in buddhi ajnanam has entered. This is called ajnanam. Ajnanam is this, that instead of having the right understanding, you have got some false understanding and you are thinking that as the right understanding. That's where the difficulty is. And that's why same thing is with us now. Krishna is repeatedly telling us you are the spirit soul. But we are still saying that I am the body. I am the body, isn't it? It's not leaving us, this knowledge. So when you take that into account, you can see this comparison. How ajnanam strong it is. How strong the ajnanam in us, the ignorance in us. That I am not accepting what Krishna is saying. On the other hand, I am pushing my idea that I am this body. And that is why it is always mentioned like this, that the body is although changing, although the body is changing, in spite of that, because of my identity with the body, inside that false ego is so strong. Every one of us, the false ego is so strong. And I have also pulled in all my problems with this body, problems of this life, problems of this world, international problems, everything. Keeping all these things inside me, I am experiencing distress, like it happened to Arjuna. Arjuna's distress was also in the same way. Arjuna felt distressed. Karna also felt a distressed. If you remember, Karna was also in a distress when things started going in the wrong way. But Arjuna's distress turned out to be good for him at the end. But Karna's distress ended up in his leaving the body in this world. So, distress has come to both, to Arjuna as well as Karna. And what Bhagavad Gita is saying is, a good person and a bad person in this world will feel distress. It's not only the bad. Sometimes we say, oh, he was such a good person, why does he suffer like this? We ask that question. That is not the right thing. A good person and a bad person will both feel distress in this world. The goodness has never taken anyone by holding the hand and saved him. Goodness has done that, never done that so far. Because these are modes of nature. These are modes of nature. When we refer to good and bad in this world, you might remember it's all modes of nature. Why modes of nature? Modes of nature means that there are three modes, isn't it? Goodness, passion, and ignorance. And all the three are three chains. The only difference is the goodness, mode of goodness is a golden chain. The mode of passion is a silver chain, and the mode of ignorance is an iron chain. That's all the difference. But it's a chain at the end. So the person who is in the mode of goodness, he'll find it more difficult to unlock himself from the golden chain. Because golden chain is more powerful to hold you. Because with the iron chain, you are willing to get rid of it very quickly. Your mind will allow you to leave it. But golden chain, you want to hold on to it. That's the problem, because it's gold. So goodness in this world is like that. Anything if you consider, we'll come to the point that it is also a prison. Even if it is goodness, goodness in this world, it's also a prison in this world. What the important thing is, if you are in goodness, even though you are in goodness, if you don't stay in satsangam, in the association, and take Bhagavad Gita's knowledge and Bhagavatam's knowledge seriously and acquire the knowledge, this goodness will give you more trouble than the other things. Why? Because we will have that false ego in us saying that I am in the mood of goodness. You see, which is a very strong thing. Sometimes you see people who are in the mood of goodness, they also sometimes don't easily take to Krishna shelter. They are also very proud, or the false ego inside is so strong that still they are thinking, I am in the mood of goodness, everything, I am living properly and I am following the principles properly. And the intelligence also, because it's in the mode of goodness, he will not easily take to the knowledge what Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita, because on an intellectual platform they keep arguing about it. So false ego will be there. Then if it is a golden chain that is binding you, you will not get freed from that very easily. If it is a golden chain, you will say, let it stay there. So what is the way to get the complete freedom from all the chain? That's the question, isn't it? How will the ignorance will go away? How? Because if you understand, the cause of all the distress a person is experiencing is the mind. Whatever great the problem may be, the problem is inside the mind. How do you say that? Because as soon as you go to sleep, the problem doesn't exist. Only when the mind wakes up, the problem starts. When the mind dissolves, the problems also dissolve. So the question is, how did the mind come up? Mind is such a thing, undefinable. It says anirvajaniyam. Anirvajaniyam means something which you cannot define what it is, this thing called mind. And this mind is most powerful among the human beings, in the human society. In animals, they don't have a mind like we have. Their mind doesn't expand like the way it expands for us. Our mind expands according to the world we live. The world expands our mind when it is in contact with the world outside. But when it comes to the animals, their mind is very limited. They have only few problems: eating, sleeping, mating, defending. The mind operates within these four things. But our mind makes it very sophisticated, although we do the same thing. But it becomes very sophisticated and it expands in a big scale. So therefore, mind is much more powerful. Mind is very, very powerful. And when the mind is very powerful, how did it become powerful? Because of the misapprehensions. And how does it become so much misapprehension has come? This growth has happened because of our education. in the name of education, all sorts of understanding or ignorance, we push it into our head, isn't it? All misunderstanding in the name of education. We have practically wasted a very major part of our life in the schools and colleges. It hasn't really helped us in the spiritual path. It has only put us, we have become more problem for us now to accept something when Krishna says, whereas a simple person will be able to take it easily. When somebody who has not been educated through this system, he will accept it without any questioning. Whereas we, in spite of the fact that Krishna repeats in many ways, it doesn't go in. As soon as keep on studying this, our problems are also increasing. That's why you see, in the traditional Vedic system, everybody need not be educated, because education was not considered to be such an important thing. Now the system is, everyone must go to school, everybody should do work, everybody should do everything. And because you keep your mind, from Vedic point of view, you keep yourself simple. And you take the knowledge from the right source. And then your life is happy. And you will, life is successful also at the end. You won't have any mental problems, any intellectual problems, any family problems, nothing. You are simple inside. So you can live with this world peacefully. But when we had the modern civilization, this is the biggest problem. That it is constantly making a man's life hell because of the so-called education. And you never see it coming to an end. Only it's getting worse day by day. Think about all the children who have to go to school and study all these things and eventually getting confused about life, what life is for. All this crisis comes up later. So actually, strictly speaking, we are 95% is inside. It's only 5% outside. 95% we are inside. Mind, the intelligence, the soul, everything, that's what we are actually. It's inside, isn't it? But we are busy with this 5% outside. All our life is centered around this 5% outside. This 5%, we have put a golden coat on that and makes it fantastic, looks very good. But this 95% inside is completely rejected. No attention to that. What is the soul inside? Yeah. So what will the 95% do if it does like that? All the problems are lying inside, not outside. All the problems are lying inside. Who is going to solve that? That is where the purpose of this knowledge comes. And if the knowledge is not helping to solve the problems inside, it is not vidya anymore, it's avidya. It is avidya. Because all this education, 15, 20 years you spend in the college, school, colleges and university and all that, eventually after coming out, after such a sort of education and degrees and all that, he just does not know what he is living for. What's the goal of life is, isn't it? It's not been given to him properly, the proper way. It's not his fault, but the system, I'm saying, that he has been educated in the wrong way, in other words. And that's why you can see, as soon as they leave, come to this world, and then all other problems comes along with that. And if that avidya is only for eating and sleeping, if it is only meant for that, then then what else has he learned? So many years he has to spend in the university just to know that I have to eat and sleep at the end. If that's only knowledge that you are going to get from this education, that just I have to eat and sleep, nothing more than that, what is this education? That's the question. So therefore, when we look into Vedic philosophy, you find that the Brahminical culture, which was based on the proper development of spiritual knowledge, had this one principle always on the top. Keep it to the minimum, everything. To the simplest way, as far as body is concerned. So that's why the statement came, Brahmanaha Bhojana Priyaha. That Brahmana is fond of eating. You can please a Brahmana quickly by giving him a feast. And we say, Brahmana is Bhojana Priya. It is true that he is just satisfied with one feast. He doesn't ask for anything else in life. And why? Because being like that, he can use his mind and intelligence in the right direction, in understanding the soul. That was the benefit. You will see in the Bhagavatam this mentioned, Brahmanasya hi dehoyam, kshudra kamaya neshyade. Kshudra kama means all the other sense gratification what we are trying to acquire in this world. Brahmana's body is not meant for that. He's not supposed to go after sense enjoyment. You should be completely free from sense enjoyment. Completely free from sense enjoyment. Total control on all the senses. That is Brahminical culture. Total control on all the senses. And Pratyananda Sukhayaja, that his happiness will come when he leaves his body, not at the time while he is within the body. That is his success of life. So, with education is for this purpose. Tam devaha brahmanam vidu. The eating and sleeping is only a maintenance of the body. Next thing one should be concerned, that should be very minimum. Eating and sleeping is concerned. It should be very minimum. Just to maintain this body, one has to eat. When you are tired, you have to sleep. Nothing more than that. You shouldn't give more importance to that than these simple things. But we make it so complicated that it's a little bit problem sometimes. Misunderstanding. That we think that eating is the biggest thing in this world. And we also, devotees also fall into this trap that we should have a feast all the time. Everything to be a feast. No, everything need not be a feast. You should be satisfied with simple food. Little rice, some chapatis and some vegetables is more than enough to survive in this world. But we want to make it a feast all the time. So that's not a very proper understanding, because if we engage all the time in this cooking and eating business, it's not a nice thing. Then you won't be able to concentrate on the real thing, what is important for us. Our idea is to minimize everything in relationship with the body, whether it's eating, whether it is sleeping is concerned. If we are not getting sleep, doesn't matter. We should sit and chant or read Bhagavatam and get more absorbed in that. When you feel tired, you will sleep. So that's only time when you have to sleep. Sleeping is concerned. So, but this eating, sleeping becomes an important issue in life, then there won't be any time for the other things. What is more important than this? That's why most of the time we devotees also do the same thing. That the whole focus is on this feast, organizing the feast. And that's not a good situation. That it should be kept to the very minimum and to save the time as much as possible. We may say it is Krishna Prasadam and all. Yes, we should offer it to Krishna everything well. But we ourselves personally should not be make it as a sort of opportunity for enjoyment, sense enjoyment. And that becomes takes the priority over everything else. No, priority is for the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That should be the driver in our life, nothing else. Other things are there just to, because body needs food, so we have to eat. There's nobody is denying that. But that itself is not the goal of life, eating. Similarly, body needs sleep and the rest, we have to eat, all sleep also. But that should not become the main concern in life. Where will I sleep and how will I sleep? That's not the whole issue. Some place you need to sleep, that's all. So, whenever we feel weak in life, this knowledge what Krishna has given to us should lift us up. Otherwise, it's no point. This knowledge should lift us up. And constantly, with the help of this knowledge, we are constantly rubbing against each other. This knowledge should rub inside, constant contact. And that is what is known as mananam. Mananam means this, that the knowledge what Krishna has given to us, constantly reflecting on that, and establishing that in that truth ourselves. That means we will not accept anything else as knowledge except what Krishna has spoken. Krishna has not forced upon us. Krishna is saying this, the process is like this. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. So after hearing this, whatever we have heard, by continuous churning inside, this knowledge, we should accept it wholeheartedly and become a part of us. In other words, no more deviating from that knowledge. Knowledge is our strength. That knowledge is our strength. So, because after hearing this, if you just leave it, it won't be of any benefit. If you just leave it like that, oh, I've heard it. Okay, it will come back to your help sometimes later. But success is if you develop it. After getting this knowledge inside, if you develop it, that's your success. And Krishna does expect us to do that. Krishna does expect us to do that. Because otherwise Krishna wouldn't have, using Arjuna and Uddhava, would not have given this knowledge to us in the way he has spoken there. And so, remember that story, Shodavyaha, Mandavyaha, Nididhyasidavyaha. Nididhyasana means after mananam, after you have understood in your mind what it is. Nididhyasanam is that third stage where you will not go away from that anymore, holding on to it tightly. That is called Nididhyasanam. So, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Shravanam is the hearing process, where you hear nicely what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. After hearing this, you reflect on this very well. That is called Mananam. Reflect so well that you are able to absorb it without any more questions. Once it has become your conclusions, your own, it has become your realization, what Krishna has spoken, holding on to that without losing it again. That is called Nididhyasana. So these three steps are important. It's not only the first step. Most of us, we hear the Shravanam and then forget to do the rest of the two. But Krishna, this is the normal practice with the jnanis. They follow Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasana. It's in the Upanishads. The statement is directly from the Upanishads. So, remember that story we mentioned about the... this is in the Mahabharatam, this story. A yaksha came to a king and he brought this three skeleton story. The three skeletons he brought and asked them, Yaksha was asking him, who is the best, who is the lowest, who is the middle one? This was the question. He said, the best one, the middle one, and the lower one. When he asked this question, and because there was no bones, there is no skin, there is no flesh, there is no blood, there is no skin, they were just skeletons. And skeletons look alike. All the skeletons look alike, isn't it? It's very difficult looking at a skeleton and say who is the best and who is the worst in that, out of the three skeletons. So, it was then that a sannyasi came that way and he told them to bring a stick. That story, you know. And he told them to put the stick through one ear, and when it came through the other ear, it came out through the other ear, he says, this person is the lowest. He's the lowest. Why? It has gone in, it came through the other ear. In other words, it hasn't had any impact on that person. It hasn't had any impact on that person. So, in Shravanam, in hearing process, one who hears through one ear and leaves through the other ear, he is in that category. He is in that category. That we hear and we leave it without giving any value to it. That it's such an important thing Krishna has given, we didn't take it seriously. We heard it, we left it through the other ear. So he is called the lowest among the three skeletons. When you put the stick in, it came out through the other ear. The sannyasi said, he is the lowest, take it away, he said, from here. Then, then there is a second one. He put in through this and came through the mouth, isn't it? Put it through the ear and came through the mouth. So, if you ask him later, he will repeat it, what he has heard. He will repeat everything exactly what he has heard. So, he is the second category. And the problem with the second category is that he will hear everything and he will repeat it to you also, but when he comes out, he will say, well, I heard everything, but it's not practical in life. He'll say, boom. That's it. Finished then. You cannot do anything with that person after that, because he makes you completely in a very depressed state when he tells you this. That I've heard everything, but you know, it's all right. Whatever he said, it's all right. It's okay, but it's not practical, he will say. Why? Immediately he has left this and moved into his world. He's moved away from this world to his world, to his own world. He has moved because he is used to his own world where everything is practical according to his plans. But Krishna's plans are different. Krishna is giving us some different understanding of life. We are not accepting that. We want to keep on our understanding. So this person, what he does, he heard everything and he can repeat it to you what he heard. It just comes out through the mouth, everything what he heard, he will repeat it to you. But then he will say outside, it's not practical, he will say. It's not practical. Nothing is practical. And that is more dangerous than the other man, the one who went in and went out, because he is not doing any damage to you. You are trying to get your faith established in Krishna's words, isn't it? So the first person is not doing any damage to you, because he has not understood anything. He heard and he left it. Nothing has happened to him. So he won't tell you anything. He won't bother you. He will leave you. You can do what you want. But the second category, he will come and put forward his ideas and says to you, it's not practical. And there you are in serious trouble. So you are also get affected by that. That is the point. The second one is more dangerous than the first one. And this is one of the reason why it is said not to write. For this reason only. That it we have to develop this understanding rightly. It's not a criticism. We all write it at different times in different things. When we can't remember, we have to write it down. But ideally, the right thing is not to do it. Why? Because it should not become a reproduction. That's if you do well, reflect on it, it's no harm. There's no harm in that. You can write it. But reflection is more important than writing down and keeping it away. What will happen is, when you keep it on the paper, you will think, it's there. When I want, I can refer it. Look at it, isn't it? We all do the same thing. And like in the, you can see with the advent of computers and all that, when there is, we have so many facilities and all this, what do you call this, iRiver and all sorts of things, yeah? All, you don't have any memory anymore. Everything is dependent on the books and the tools. On the electronic goods, what's available, isn't it? And anybody asks you anything, you have no knowledge. Nothing. Nothing in the head stays. Everything stays in all these instruments, what you have got, isn't it? So, and then, if that's lost, you are lost completely. You can't have anything in your own, you don't have anything to show that you can remember anything. And because memory power also goes away in that process, because memory is never used. It's already very few kilobytes inside, but that also goes away very quickly, isn't it? So this was not in the Vedic system, because these instruments were not there. People who studied well, they remembered everything. They were called walking libraries. That was the word were used about them. Walking libraries. All the knowledge was in the head. They used to walk. There was no books even much. Simple dress, simple clothing, but head full of knowledge, proper understanding. So they were never confused about anything. Like the confusion we find today in grown-ups, adults, what confusion we find. You didn't find that confusion among the adults those days. Why? Because at the right age, in the right way, the knowledge is gone in. And it's given that maturity to them. Mind was steady, no wavering. And more peaceful within themselves, and they were satisfied with that, without all these modern gadgets what we have got. And you will also see a lot of the old people are frightened about the modern gadgets, because they are feeling that if I become dependent on them, what will happen to me tomorrow? And although old age brings problem, because the society is changing, everything you require, the computer for operating your bank accounts and paying your bills, everything is getting complicated day by day for the older people. They find it difficult. But still, one good thing about that is they are more stable in life than the one who has got all these things with them. So it's just a thing that Purnava, Krishna says here, this third category we are talking about now, the third category is where it has gone in and it went down to the heart, where the proper work is happening inside. This knowledge is not a theoretical knowledge. It's a knowledge which has to be translated into practical life. Otherwise, it's not knowledge anymore. It's not used at all. So, Prakritam, Madhyamam, Uttamam. These are the three words used. Prakritam, Madhyamam, Uttamam. So, Prakritam is the one who has heard it, left it. No trouble. Madhyamam is the one who has heard it and he will repeat it, but at the same time he says it's not practical. Uttamam one, the best one, is he has heard it, gone inside, and it has become his knowledge. In other words, he has realized it. himself, he has realized it. So which means that it will work for him in his life. It will work for him in his life. The knowledge will definitely help him in his future life. So in Satsangam also, this is what is happening. This knowledge is working inside without our knowledge. When you hear this, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, it keeps working inside and make ourselves to think about it and becomes accepted by us inside. We start getting accepted by us, isn't it? The knowledge goes in and we start thinking that Krishna has spoken something very sensible and it becomes a part of us, in other words. So it won't leave us. If it has gone in and a little analysis has happened inside, it will stay as a part of us. There are, before we enter into this topic seriously, these few things we have to be talked about. There are two types of wells in the villages, if you look. Those who know, who have got wells at home, they will know these things. Then, one type of well, in the rainy season, very quickly it gets filled up. Very quickly, it fills up. And when the summer season comes, the water level drops very fast. There's one type of wells like that. There's another type of well, whatever amount of rain happens, it will never get full. Maybe a little bit it will rise in the rainy season. And then when the summer comes, also the water level won't go very much down. Because the water that has gone in, it stays around the well at the bottom. Around the well. It is something what's happening underneath the ground, how it works. That any amount of rain, it won't get full. And any amount of summer, it won't get dry up. It will stay still more or less the same. Hearing is also like that. Hearing is also like that. It will capture everything. And sometimes after 10 days, everything is forgotten. Everything is forgotten. You see, this hearing about Krishna, what Krishna has given us in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, we must never make this mistake of hearing once and then leaving it. That's a big mistake. Because if we do that, this is that well, which level goes up and goes down considerably, similarly. So we won't get the benefit if we don't think about it in depth. Think about it in depth. People who hear very carefully, what happens to them is, the knowledge goes inside and it hides somewhere. It hides somewhere. Just like the water was hiding at the bottom of the well somewhere. And while later on, the same water will come up as first-class quality water when you need it. Isn't it? What has happened is, it has gone inside and stayed there, and it will start coming out as their own water. As their own water. This knowledge that has gone in, if it has been properly given time and properly analyzed inside with the mind, and you have thought about it in depth, then this knowledge will stay inside and will come out when you need it. When you need it, it will come out. It will not be reproducing as he heard it. This is another thing. He won't reproduce it as he has heard it, but it will come as his own experience. This is the important thing. These are two different things. Reproduction is done by the memory and intelligence. Experience is coming from the soul, realization, which is different. Yeah. For example, all these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, you can memorize it, isn't it? You can memorize all the 700 verses. It's not so difficult. If you give some energy to it, you can reproduce it as it is. Nowadays, most of the devotees also, what they do, they study the verse and they study the translation also. They memorize the translation. And while preaching, they are just repeating it to that person. Yeah? You repeat the translation, what you have, exactly. And if you repeat it like that, the person who is hearing, he thinks that this is not his own. Immediately you will think that. It is not his own. He is learned from some book and he is repeating to me. I can buy that book. I can read it. What does he need it for? What do I need him for? This thought will come and you won't take it very seriously. Suppose he has read the verse, understood the verse, and if he is explaining it in the right way to the other person as his own, if he has understood properly and he explains and understood, that will have a greater impact on the on that person. Because why? It says here that it will come out as its own understanding. So you will have some trust in that person who is saying this. So Shravanam, this is the best Shravanam. One who has heard it properly, who produces it as is its own realizations, that is the best Shravanam. That is the best Shravanam. Therefore, first thing to hear properly and then to chew it properly. Like the cows do. You know how the cows are. Cows eat everything and then they'll go and lie down and bring back everything what they have eaten, chew it nicely and then send it back again. Isn't it? Cows are known for that. As you keep on feeding the cow, keep on eating. But then afterwards, much later, they sit down or lie down somewhere and then they start bringing it out everything. So this knowledge of the soul, which is the most important thing, which is the essence of everything, that should develop in at a slow pace inside. At a slow pace inside. It's not something you can capture like this. Constantly reflecting on all what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, we keep on pondering over it, and that realization will get deeper and deeper, day by day. And when you come to the deepest point of that realization, Krishna calls that person as Sthitapragna. Sthitapragna is that person who has not heard and left it, not heard and repeated it, but heard and chewed and made as it his own realizations. In other words, he has practically become one with the knowledge. That knowledge he has got it from Krishna, he has become one with that knowledge. That knowledge is, and that is why Arjuna asked this question, isn't it? Sthitapragna sega bhasha samadhistasya keshava. Arjuna says to Krishna, this you keep on saying about the Sthitapragna, how does he conduct his business? So before going to that detail, Krishna wanted Arjuna to understand that Sthitapragnatvam means that state, that existence of a person who is in this category, who has heard it, chewed over it, and realized it. He is Sthitapragna. All the devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam belongs to Sthitapragna category. You will notice that also. That is why their devotion was that level of devotion. Take for example, starting with Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi was a Sthitapragna. Look at all what has happened in her life. So much distress she had to go through. But always fixed in the consciousness and Krishna consciousness. It comes from Sthitapragnatvam. Sthitapragnatvam means never wavers the mind anymore. No more wavering inside. Like Kunti Devi was. And similarly Bhishma. Look at Bhishma. In spite of the battlefield, fighting, war, fought with Krishna and everything, still bhakti to Krishna has never wavered. It's always steady. Mind is so fixed up in that knowledge is what is helping them, that protecting them from all this thing. That there is no wavering anymore, isn't it? There's no more wavering inside. Vidura, same thing. In spite of all things what happened in Hastinapuram, he went on his pilgrimage, came back, met Maitreya Maharshi, spoke, discussed with Maitreya Maharshi everything, and advised Dhritarashtra so nicely before he left Hastinapur. And Vidura was so fixed up in his consciousness. Always in Krishna shelter. Always in Krishna shelter. So all the devotees, Vidura, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna, Uddhava, and Ambarish Maharaj, Vritrasura, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlada, Mahabali, endless list in the Bhagavadam. All of them, that Sthitapragnatvam is their quality. Sthitapragnatvam. Sthitapragnatvam means this, that they are not simply accepting things on an external level, like we do. We accept everything on an external basis, isn't it? Suppose there is a lot of propaganda. We are carried away by that propaganda straight away. Yeah, that's not a good quality to get driven by the propaganda of the world. In this world, particularly in this age now, because there is so much media opportunity for propaganda, quickly we get fallen into that, into the propaganda business. We are more prone to fall into propaganda. particularly when we don't have our own strength inside to analyze things. So that is why in the spiritual field also we find now there is more propaganda than the substance. More propaganda than the substance. So when we also get carried away and we get affected by it very much, by this propaganda that goes on. It is not a good thing. It confuses people all the time. And Krishna is saying that the sthidapragnatvam is the answer for that. Sthidapragnatvam is the answer for that. So in this chapter, the first chapter was Vishada Yogam, isn't it? Arjuna Vishada Yogam it was called. Now, you may think that the Dhritarashtra was, Vedavyas could have started Bhagavad Gita with rather than distress, to begin the whole thing with distress. Vishada Yogam. To call it as Arjuna Vishada Yogam. That the whole, the greatest literature in the world is starting with distress. So you wonder why is it like that, isn't it? And that too, starting with a person, Dhritarashtra Uvacha, a personality who was blind inside out. Both. Inside he was blind, outside also he was blind. Isn't it? And even somebody else giving him the right advice, he won't accept it. Why is it like that? Why did he do like that? You ask this question. The reason is this. He knows that most of the people in this world are Dhritarashtras. 99% is Dhritarashtra is in this world. So when you are addressing, when you are writing a literature for Dhritarashtras, better to start with Dhritarashtra Vacha rather than saying Bhagavan Vacha, because we are not Bhagavan, we are Dhritarashtras more than Bhagavan or Arjuna. So that is why the literature began with this word Dhritarashtra Vacha, because we are blind. Basically, we are blind inside and outside. We are blind inside, no knowledge of the soul. We are blind outside because we have taken material life very seriously, more than what it deserves. So, even if Dhritarashtras, so when you have no eyes, when you have no eyes to see, what is the next help for a man is a wife, isn't it? For a man, when he has no help, when he can't see himself, the next person who is dependent on is the wife. Now, what does the wife done now here? Gone and tied cloth around her own eyes. So the two blind together, what can they do? What will happen to them? That is why it is said here that because of that, all the children also came out from that relationship were also blind. Were also blind. This is also a kind of indication to us that our intelligence on its own bringing ignorance in us. On its own, it's bringing ignorance to us. Why? Because on our own, no knowledge. Our own, we have no knowledge. And in the place of intelligence, if the wife was helping in that position, then at least that knowledge will help to change our way of thinking. Yeah, to change our way of thinking. But on intelligence place also blindness. In the place of intelligence also there is blindness. We ourselves are blind. And from there hundreds of children are born. That is the Kauravas. Hundreds of children are born. That is the Kauravas. These Kauravas actually are referred to our material desires. Material desires. Why we develop so much material desires? Because of the blindness inside. Kauravas were born from a piece of flesh, isn't it? From a piece of flesh, if you remember the story in Mahabharatam, that the everything that born from dead matter, anything that is born from the dead matter, that is for attachment due to the dead matter, Kauravas were born, or in other words, the desires. From dead matter, the birth of the Kauravas, Vedavyasa Maharshi, what he did was, that this piece of flesh, he cut that. You remember Gandhari cut open her mouth and took out that flesh, came out, which was a dead body. And Vedavyasa Maharshi cut that into pieces, hundreds of pieces, right? And put them into these pots, earthen pots. And he filled them with water and chanted mantra on each one of them to give life to it. Maharshis, isn't they are so powerful, they could do such things. A sort of genetic engineering. In other words, what Vedavyas was doing. They could do such things. We are thinking solely it has happened today. It's not true. These things were happening earlier also. There is mention of this in the Mahabharata, that Vedavyasa was able to create this life to those pieces, what he has created. That 100 boys were born from that. And then Gandhari said, I want a girl as well. And that is when the last piece, whatever it was left, was put into another pot with this Sangalpam. Sangalpam is the resolve that let this, who comes out from this, be a girl. And Dushala was born after that. So Dushala was born like this, and the Kauravas were born in this way. So in Mahabharatam, if you look, you will find two very important things, very powerful and very important things, which was in case of Mahabharatam it happened, and it is happening today also. What are this? In Mahabharatam time also, this nuclear technology was very high, was developed. It was not an unknown thing. When we talk about Brahmastram, Agnayastram, Varunastram, so many astrams they have developed is based on the nuclear philosophy, nuclear technology they had developed then. And also this artificial birth, what they did at that time. Nuclear power, in modern world we say nuclear power and genetic engineering. At that time it was called as the weapon industry, weapon technology, and the artificial process of taking birth. Yeah, both these things are against laws of nature, material nature. Both are against the material laws of nature. This is the reason at that time that Krishna had to come and control the situation. Because when it comes to such an extreme thing, when we say that, Kamsa and so many others have come, and Kamsa and others were people who have come to this world after the churning of the milk ocean, isn't it? You know, Kamsa was present in the churning of milk ocean. His name was Kalanemi at that time, right? Basically, in the Mahabhagavatam, if you read, you will notice, Krishna knew what was going to happen in the future. 5,000 years later, Krishna was going to come. When Krishna was going to appear, this churning of the milk ocean and Krishna's appearance, there is a big time gap. There is a big time gap. So, at the churning of the milk ocean itself, Krishna has already recruited who is going to come with him when he comes here later. So, Kalanemi was kept for that purpose to come as Kamsa. And there are others also who are supposed to come later with Krishna's appearance here. Right? So, the important thing is that whenever these two things, nuclear energy and the as well as this genetic engineering, this is a 100% law against the nature, to go against the nature. You are threatening the very existence of Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth's existence, with this nuclear energy. And we are also threatening the important thing of the human's survival, existence in this world through this genetic engineering. These are not approved by the nature. Krishna's laws doesn't allow with this. So when such things happen, Krishna had to come. Krishna had to come and put, without another seed to sprout again, Krishna had to destroy it, the whole thing. So that's why he said that Kurukshetra Yuddham, the war in Kurukshetram, was that actually. Actually what happened was, the nuclear power and genetic engineering are both discussed in Mahabharatam, right? After Mahabharatam, so much was written, but nowhere else you find any discussion about it since then, about these two things, nuclear energy and the genetic engineering. Now you can see, we are going back to the same state of situation again in this world. Our mind and intelligence is driving us in that direction. Again, little success will happen. And so, the law of material nature is that it won't allow this knowledge to grow. Which knowledge? The knowledge of nuclear engineering and the nuclear technology and this genetic engineering. Both, if it grows in a higher level, in a large scale, it has to be put to an end. And it will happen in some form. When it will happen, nobody knows. But these are the situation when Krishna appeared in this world. He had to stop that. Because we don't accept a higher authority. That doesn't mean higher authority doesn't exist. Krishna's control is very strong on us. If he wants to finish us all in 1 second, he can finish it. It's not a problem. But he won't allow us that to happen. So, Bhagavad Gita, if you look, there is a verse there. When the universal form appeared in front of Arjuna, that is in the 11th chapter, if you look at the verse 32. Kalosmi loka chaygal pravarta, lokan samahartam iha pravarta, hridevitva nabhavishyande sarve yevastida pratyani geshu yodhaha. It is a verse indicating to this. Verse 32 in chapter 11 verse 32. When Arjuna saw Krishna in the universal form, let me read that. In the universal form, Krishna is talking to Arjuna. Arjuna, you see me in this form now, who I am. Yeah, Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Kalo osmi loga kshegral pravurdho logan samahartamiha pravurtaha hridevitvan na bhavishyanti sarve ye avastida pratyanikeshu yodhaha. Translation. The Blessed Lord said, time, I am destroyer of the worlds, and I have come to engage all people. With the exception of you, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. On both sides will be slain. Krishna says a decision has already been taken. Who should stay and who should go? And that decision is final. There is no question about that. And kalosmi, I am time. Time I am. I will come and I will do when it needs to be done. So, kalosmi loka chayagrat pravarta. I have come. Kalosmi loka chayagrat. Chayagrat means in order to, what's the word? In order to, destroy, yeah. In order to destroy it, gradually to destroy it, completely to destroy it, I have decided. So, kalosmi, I am that time, chayagral pravardha. In the form of time, I will destroy these things. When I find something is creating so much distress in this world. And if you feel that, Krishna, if you feel, find it difficult to believe this, the only thing you can accept it is this way, that this reference to these two things, nuclear technology and this genetic engineering, has not been discussed in any other shastram after the Mahabharata. So much history has been written since then. This has happened 5,000 years ago, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. And the Mahabharata was written more or less the same time. Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Mahabharata 5,000, take it for example, 5,000 years ago. So at that time in Mahabharata, he mentioned that. But since then, right up to this time today, these two things are not discussed in any shastram. You don't find anything in any of the other shastram, other Puranas or other Vedic literature or the other Acharyas have written. Nowhere you find any reference to these two things. So from this, we have to understand that it did exist at one point, but today, it looks that the same situation is developing again in the same way it's going. Because nature, if we play with the fire, if we act out of control and start doing things independently to such an extent, nature will put it a stop to it. At some way or the other, whole thing can go. Whole thing can come to disaster. Anyway, that's another subject. But these hundreds of Kauravas, they are all children of ignorance. Children of ignorance. Therefore, it says here that keeping all of them, that the what Krishna has said, Vedavyasa is saying here is Vishada Yogam. Vishada Yogam. So, keeping them, Vishada Yogam means from Vishadam or distress, only spiritual life begins. Generally, spiritual life begins from distress. Always it's like that. It's never from in a jolly, happy mood in this world. You never hear anyone had spiritual life. It has never happened in the past. So from distress begins the spiritual life. That is the reason why all the great souls have prayed for distress. All the great souls have prayed for distress. Mahabhagavatam, everybody knows Kunti Devi. Isn't it? Vibhada sanduda shashwal tatra tatra jagal guru. Bhavado darshanam yasyal apunar bhava darshanam. That give me all the time distress. Let distress come to my life. Why? Tatra tatra jagal guru, O spiritual master of the whole creation, universe. Bhavado darshanam. If I come, because every time when a distress happens, you are coming for my shelter. You are coming in front of me, and I'm always taking your shelter. Bhavado darshanam yasyal. Then what happens? I know very well that every time the distress comes and then you are coming in front of me, apunar bhava darshanam, I won't have another birth again. That guarantee I am getting from you. This is the devotee's approach. Kunti Devi was a devotee. So devotee seeing like this, every time I am getting a distress in life, Krishna is coming in front of me and lifting me up from my distress. And it gives me a guarantee that I don't have to take another birth again. This is the way devotee thinks. Jnani also thinks exactly the same way. The only difference is, Jnani is thinking, iti madhiribagal bhishma, the best example. Jnani is saying there that I know that you will be present in front of me when I need it. This is Jnani's guarantee. Jnani feels that confidence in him. When I need it, this knowledge will help me. That is Jnani's realization. Devotee's realization is this, that every time when I am in distress, Krishna will come and lift me. And that is enough for me that I don't have to take another body again. So they are both covered. We are not covered. That's the problem. We have no coverage from anywhere. We are always in trouble, sometime or the other. Everywhere crisis in life. And not able to put faith in anything. But Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam should put a solid foundation in our heart that never again in this life we have to fall into any crisis. There's no need for that. This knowledge is so strong and so deeply kept there. For sages has given this greatest favor. If you think that in human body, and if one has got the greatest treasure, it is this Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, nothing else. Because once this knowledge, as Krishna has given to us, if it is taken seriously, then it will protect us in all circumstances, all situations. And ignorance is the main problem what we have. And this is the knowledge what for? To fight that ignorance. So, Kunti Devi said like that, isn't it? When distress combined with satsangam, vishadam will become yogam. Yeah? When we are in distress, if you are in satsangam, your vishadam will turn into yogam. Yoga. It will turn into yoga. When vishadam goes into contact with dusangam, bad association, it will become rogam. It will turn into disease. And that's what has happened to the Kauravas. Krishna's association with Arjuna in Vishada Yogam turned into satsangam, which was satsangam basically. Arjuna Vishadam, Arjuna and Krishna conversation is nothing but satsangam. So that satsangam and turned into yoga. Arjuna Vishada Yoga Nama, it says there, isn't it? So Vishadam turned into yogam. So, Vishadam comes, one should go to Satsangam. That is a remedy for Vishadam, not anything else. When you are in Vishadam, the answer, solution to the problem is Satsangam. When you are in Vishadam, you should not go after Dusangam. It will drag you down further. We will always, normally, general tendency among the people is, when they have Vishadam, they go to pub. Isn't it? Which, what does it mean? Pub means Dusangam. Isn't it? It's Dusangam. So what happens? He becomes a drunkard later. He further falls from the... Already he's feeling the distress. But with the association, with the wrong association, he further falls down. Whereas, if he comes to associate with devotees, that Vishadam will go. In Vishadam also don't stay permanently. Nothing stays in this world permanently. It comes, it goes. It comes, it goes. Like happiness, distress also. So, when it is Vishadam, it should be Satsangam. The solution is Satsangam. That is the best solution for Vishadam. So, Arjuna and Karna, both of them were there. Where we have put our foot, this is the Vishadam units associated with Dusangam, it turns into Yogam. Arjuna, Karna and Duryodhana, they all had Vishadam, isn't it? Duryodhana was also feeling the Vishadam. But, Duryodhana's association was with the wrong person, isn't it? Who? With Shaguni. Shaguni. So, because Duryodhana and Vishadam was that these Pandavas are becoming a headache. Because they were not leaving and going. He wanted to get rid of them once for all. Get lost from here. That was his words to them. but they have come back ready to fight. So it's becoming creating problem for him. On the other hand, Duryodhana took shelter of Shakuni. Shakuni was his shelter. So because of that, it became Droham. It became a headache for everybody else. In here, what you find in Arjuna's cases, Vishadam has become a Yogam. So the result of association with Krishna was that Arjuna became a yogi. In other words, Arjuna gave up his karma, isn't he? He decided not to fight the war. He said, I will not fight, he said, which is a good symptom. When you get distress, we should not act. That is another important thing. When we get distress, we should not act. We should withdraw from the world. Just like when you see the red light, you should stop. Isn't it? When you get the green signal, you can go. Similarly, if inside is not right, important thing is to stop activity for some time and get the inside right first. This is important for all of us, because in our life in this world, this always happens, isn't it? That we go and meddle with all sorts of things and complicate a life and get into a lot of problems, inside problem and conflicts builds up, and ragam, dvesham, attachment, aversion, everything happens inside, right? So here the important thing is, when such a situation does happen, important first thing to do is to withdraw from that till the inside is properly sorted. And then after that, take the chariot again and come back to the world to fight when the inside is sorted out. So this sorting out is important. This is the process the sages has given to us. The sages have told us, this is the system you deal in this world. Not to allow the inside to be in trouble and then operate in the world. That's a dangerous thing. And in a karmi life also, when we are working in this world, we also get wound up with all the activities, isn't it? In the working place, and then you have got problems at home and all sorts of things. It all builds up. So suddenly what do? We take a week holiday and run off somewhere else to sort out. But because there is no knowledge how to sort it out, as soon as you come back, you're cursing. Oh, I have to go back and start the work again, isn't it? That cursing should not happen. That's the point. That sage's approach is that it's good to withdraw from the field of karma, but while withdrawing, you should have this knowledge behind to back you up, to take you back into the process of the steadiness in life. Yeah. So, therefore it is said that we have not given importance to karma. We have mentioned that before. Some people have given this karma as the most important message in the Bhagavad Gita, and they brought out this idea of duty. I mentioned this before. But Gita's message is not duty. Gita's message is how to execute the duty, how it should be done. That's what Bhagavad Gita is teaching us, how to execute the so-called duty. Krishna is not telling us, this is your duty, this is your duty. No, Krishna is telling us, you have to act in this world, that is inescapable. You can't escape from that. But how to do it, in what understanding you should do it, how you should cover yourself from the impact that will create, this duty will create on you, how to protect yourself from that. That is the message of Bhagavad Gita. That we have to execute that without attachment and with complete fullness inside, The work what we do should be an expression of that fullness inside, what we feel inside. Then Arjuna had, the distress had come in his life. So in the second chapter, straight away you can see Krishna started the instructions. The distress is a symptom of ignorance. Distress is a symptom of ignorance. So in the first chapter, there is no surrender, isn't it? There is no surrender in the first chapter. Therefore, Krishna is not giving any advice to Arjuna. There, Krishna is only a driver. He's just a driver there, isn't it? Charioteer. There's no other. Krishna Arjuna says to Krishna, Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratham Stavayam Achyuta. Take the chariot there, he says. Like you tell a driver, drive me there. isn't it? So Krishna says, yes, I'll do that. He does that also. And he takes him there. So, so he says here that one word has Krishna spoken at that point in the first chapter. You'll find he has not spoken one word. His job was driver's job. So this is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Bhishma spoke about Krishna, you remember Bhishma Stuti, when Bhishma glorifying Krishna, he said this first thing that he is capable of doing any work, any kind of work. Krishna is capable of doing any work. You were a driver for Arjuna when you wanted to be a driver, when he wants you to be a driver. And you could live in Dwaraka as the emperor of the world with all its opulences, 16,108 wives, palaces, and a huge family of so many children. And you can't imagine the opulence of Dwaraka at that time. So who was a driver in the battlefield in Kurukshetram can live as the emperor of the world in Dwaraka. Krishna had no problem, either as a driver or as the emperor. In both situations, not affected by anything, what happened. Then, in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, what did Krishna do? When everybody came, you know, after they have eaten, you have to take the leaf from there, isn't it? Clean up the place. Krishna says, that's my service. Yudhishthira Maharaj asked him, what's the service, what should we give it to you? Because Krishna has come to help in Rajasuyam. And what help shall I do? Krishna asking. What help shall I give it to you? Everybody else has got. Duryodhana had a very important role. Karna had a big position. Karna was a finance minister or minister for charities, who has to give to everybody, because Karna was known for charity, wasn't it? And Duryodhana was deliberately put there because Duryodhana had crooked plans inside. Krishna says, let him have his plans his own way and we'll see what happens. One side, Duryodhana was emptying the treasury. Other side, Mahalakshmi was feeling it from the other side. It was never getting emptied. This was the beauty of Rajasuyam. That Duryodhana could never empty. Duryodhana could not believe it, where this wealth has come from. Mahalakshmi was filling it from the other side. The godown was getting filled with everything. So, in this way, in that, and when it came to Krishna, what service to give it to him? So, Yudhishthira Maharaj was proposing that when all the kings come, big, big personalities, Jarasandha, Shishupala, and so many, many, many big, big people, they were coming from all over the world, they will come for this Rajasuyam sacrifice. So Krishna be the person to make the receptions. So then it came on, Krishna says, no, I won't do that. I'll make sure that after they had eaten everything, the place has to be cleaned up. I'll do the cleaning up. I'll also do in between, if I have to receive somebody, I'll do that, he says. So main service of the Rajasuyam was cleaning up the table after everybody has eaten. Krishna's service. Okay? So, one place in battlefield as a charioteer, driver, here as the emperor, here as the, what do they call, bearer, who clean up the tables. All, no matter, they make any difference to Krishna. It's all the same. Amani, therefore Bhishma says to him, Amani manado manyaha. For you, there is no pride in anything. No pride. No, I am doing such a low service, I am doing such a high service. It doesn't affect Krishna. Krishna is not unaffected completely by that. And then when they asked him to go as a representative, to negotiate as an emissary for Pandavas, he did that as well. Then, and when you have to tend the cows, he's Gopala. He can do that service also, to looking after the cows. And everything executed very well. Only thing is, what Krishna did was, it was a, how do you call it, it's a little bit of a trick he played with Arjuna in the battlefield. It was done deliberately. That you will see when you come to later about this. What was the trick? When Arjuna asked Krishna to take the chariot in front of, into the Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratham Sthapaya Machuda, he says, in between the army, park the chariot. At that time, Arjuna is speaking with full authority. No problems. He is speaking with full authority. So, Krishna could have parked the chariot anywhere. But deliberately, he took it in front of Bhishma and Drona. There is a purpose behind it. The purpose, I mentioned this before also. If you look into the verse, you will see this. Verse 25 in the first chapter. That ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണപ്രമുഖതാ സർവേഷാം ച മഹീക്ഷിതം ഉവാച പാർത്ഥപശ്യൈതാൻ സമവേതാൻ കുരൂൻ ഇതി. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണ പ്രമുഖത സർവേഷാം ച മഹീക്ഷിതം ഉവാച പാർത്ഥപശ്യൈതാൻ സമവേതാൻ കുരൂൻ ഇതി. ഇൻ ദ പ്രസൻസ് ഓഫ് ഭീഷ്മ ആൻഡ് ദ്രോണ ആൻഡ് ഓൾ അദർ ചീഫ്റ്റൻസ് ഓഫ് ദ വേൾഡ് ഋഷികേശ, ദ ലോർഡ് സെഡ്, ജസ്റ്റ് ബിഹോൾഡ് പാർത്ഥ, ഓൾ ദ കുരൂസ് ഹു ആർ അസംബിൾഡ് ഹിയർ. Deliberately done this. What is the reason? Krishna knows that one is a grandfather. Bhishma was known as a great-grandfather, isn't it? And the other one is a spiritual, is teacher. So these two personalities, by age, by qualification, respect, everything, you will have the highest regard for them, isn't it? Feelings for them. And if you know that you have to fight with them physically in the battlefield, it will definitely weaken him. So the psychology behind Arjuna, Krishna knew very well. That's why it was deliberately put in front of them. That if you see Duryodhana, the same impact won't be there on Arjuna. Isn't it? Or if you have seen Kradavarma or any other person on Duryodhana's side, the same impact will not be there on Arjuna. Right? So in order to create the right, deliberately pull Arjuna down, Krishna deliberately did this, brought him and put him in front of them. And the impact was straight away. Why? Our Krishna knew that there is depression in Arjuna's mind, right? And he wanted that depression to come out. In order that depression to come out, he did this, Krishna did this. You will notice one thing. Whenever you are in the association of great souls, Mahatma, what will happen is that all our thoughts inside will naturally come out from inside. This is the power of the jnanis and all the great yogis, Mahatmas. They have this power. Suppose you have so many hidden feelings, weaknesses inside, yeah? Or hidden false ego and its different ideas inside. This will come out in the association of the great souls. In the association of great souls, it will come out. And this is why many times you will notice Mahatmas are surrounded by some great crooks as well. For this reason only. Mahatmas, because the example given is like this. If you light a ghee lamp and keep it, right underneath the lamp there is darkness. Isn't it? The light goes everywhere else, but right underneath there is darkness. And if you look back in the history also, you will see that with this many Mahatmas case, they had their life ended either in the hands of those who were very close to him or somebody who had such consciousness inside. It came out in their presence. Because inside wasn't that good. So that thought starts it started coming out in their association with the Mahatmas. So Mahatmas, when you sit next to them, what they do is they shake these thoughts inside you. They will shake it up. They will shake the all the powerful thoughts inside will be shaken by their presence. Then once they have shaken them inside, you will start feeling shaken by that. Then you will start acting. Once it's shaken, you will start acting on the basis of that. That's what it is said. When you are sitting next to the jnanis, it is just like sitting next to the fire. Sitting next to the fire. If you remember, there is a statement, you may have heard this. I don't know, in Kerala what they do, we have a big Christian community. So all the churches outside, they write the slogans from the Bible. So one of the slogans they read it on the church is like this. He says, to stay near me is to stay near fire, but to go away from me is to go away from the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. There's a statement like that. I never understood what this all meant, what does this mean. But later on, while talking to somebody, mentioned to me that actually that statement is from the Upanishads. This is all coming from the Upanishads. When you are close to a realized soul, you are sitting next to the fire. And when you go away from me, he says, you are going away from the kingdom of God. And if you stay closer to that person, like a fire, everything will become eventually turned into ashes. Now, if we say that we can run away from Bhagavad Gita, it is just like we are trying to run away from Krishna. So, when you are sitting next to a great soul, our false ego will be shaken. Our false ego will be shaken. And at the moment, we are keeping it under control without anybody being noticing it, isn't it? What we think that nobody should see it, or what we think we don't have it, all those things he will pull it out from inside. He'll pull it out from inside. Now, in Arjuna's inside, there was this thing called attachment, very strongly inside. Attachment in Shastram is called Asakti. Isn't it? Asakti is the word. So attachment was inside. Attachments was inside. And attachment is nothing but false ego in another form. That I can protect somebody. I am running this show. It's because of me. But in a very subtle level, it manifests as attachment. In a very subtle level, it manifests as attachment. Arjuna has killed many people in the war before. And he never felt any compassion for any of them at any time before. But here, because Krishna is agitated inside by bringing him in front of Bhishma and Drona, Krishna agitated him inside. And suddenly, from inside, he created this situation inside that in Kurukshetra Bhumi, that in front of Bhishma and Drona, when he stood in front of them, Pashyaidan Samavetan Kuru Niti, that Krishna is saying that now, Arjuna, see all these personalities who are present here, all your relatives, he says, all your relatives, you can see them in front of them. Till then, Arjuna did not see them as relatives. Arjuna was not seeing them. But deliberately, that feeling of relationship, bodily relationship, was created there to agitate Arjuna's mind to come out with this weakness from inside. Because this is a weakness. False ego was inside. Arjuna's false ego was coming out in the form of taking sannyasam and all that. Arjuna said at that time, he said, it's better to beg for food and become a sannyasi and all that, and rather than killing all these people. That's his false ego, it is. Not doing the thing what he's meant to do. So, this false ego will not come to Arjuna when he fought with so many other wars with so many other people. So, that's why it's false ego. It's coming from attachment. It's coming from attachment, which should not happen to a Kshatriya. That's the point Krishna has to say. So, some places, Arjuna did not see this. Our vasanas also, in the same way, it will come out in a mild form, normally in a very mild level. But in the association of Mahatmas, it will become very strong inside. In a very powerful way, it will come out. And this is what has happened to Jaya and Vijaya in the Vaikuntha planet. When Sanaga Sananda Sanadana Sanat Kumara, the four sages, when they came there, Jayavijaya had this. Jayavijaya had a very small tendency inside, and they acted in a very cruel way to the four Kumaras. Kumaras were young boys, they were, and these Jayavijaya should not have got so heavy with them for no reason, and started talking to them in a very rude way. And therefore, they had to come here as Hiranyakshi and Hiranyakashipu later on, isn't it? So, if you ask in the normal way a question, it's very difficult to get an answer for these things. How come this happened in Vaikuntham? We are supposed to not to have this in Vaikuntham, all these kind of things, isn't it? Even now, you can look at it this way, that in the association of Jnanis and the great Mahatmas, there will be always some very big demons also, close to them, very closely associated with them. There will be demons as well. That so the only comparison given to this is when a lamp is burning, right underneath the lamp is darkness, but it spreads the light elsewhere. It gives the light. Therefore, when in the association, what will happen is, those who have got very demoniac tendencies in them, demoniac vasanas, those vasanas will become much more powerful in the association of the Mahalmas. So, the Jnani, when we are referring to a Jnani, what it actually means is, Jnani is not a person. Jnani is nothing but a person who is in a realized state. It's in a Bodha Swarupam. That, in other words, one who has realized Krishna, he is as powerful as Krishna in many ways. He has all the qualities of Krishna at that point, isn't it? Therefore, it is consciousness. And in that presence of that consciousness, whatever weaknesses we have inside, it will all become very powerful. Even if it is good or bad. If it is bad thoughts inside, those bad vasanas, they will become very powerful. That is why when these great souls leave, immediately we have problems. They were waiting for that to happen, the great souls to leave. And immediately we have crisis in all the institutions because of these problems. So this is what the Upanishads are also talking about. There's a lot to say about that. Negative thoughts, positive thoughts. We'll discuss that tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.